A bill passed in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives would ban women from getting an abortion if the sole reason for doing so is that the child could have Down syndrome. As part of our Bridges to Health initiative, 90.5 WESA's Sarah Bowden and Lucy Perkins look at the political and ethical implications of this legislation. Here's Lucy.
In a speech in April, Republican Speaker of the House Mike Terzai made his case for House Bill 2050, saying that terminating a pregnancy based on a possible Down syndrome diagnosis is wrong, because plenty of people with Down syndrome live healthy, productive lives.
Right now, you can test for Down syndrome, and it has become the reason that some abortion providers suggest you probably don't want to have that child.
He's talking about prenatal trisomy screenings you can get if you're pregnant that tell you if the fetus is at risk for certain health conditions, like Down syndrome. Further non-invasive testing can diagnose Down syndrome with 98% accuracy. It's the most common chromosomal abnormality for live infants. The state of Pennsylvania already bans women from getting an abortion based on the sex of the baby. So if you're pregnant with a boy and you wanted a girl, or vice versa...
That's against the law. And this is the same exact approach. It uses the same paradigm.
Many parents find that having a child with Down syndrome is the right decision for them, but that shouldn't mean that their experience should lead to a law that forces all families into that same situation.
That's Jessica Semler. She's the public affairs director for Planned Parenthood of Western Pennsylvania and is against the bill. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists does not support legislation that bans abortion based on the reason a woman is seeking one. Terzai says his legislation was partially inspired by a law passed in Ohio late last year. Indiana and North Dakota have also passed similar legislation. Terzai points out the bill got bipartisan support in the House, including 7 Democrats from Allegheny County. But even though Scott Wagner, the Republican candidate for governor, has said he supports it, Governor Tom Wolf has all but said he'd veto the bill. And if the bill became law, it would likely be challenged in court. Federal judges struck down the laws in Ohio and Indiana, saying they intruded into the privacy of a woman's decision-making. But Terzai is confident.
I think it'll stand up in court.
While this bill only addresses Down syndrome, opponents say there's a larger political strategy at work here. Sue Fritchie is a senior staff attorney with the Women's Law Project.
So House Bill 2050 can absolutely be seen in a broader context.
She says that context can be found in a memo written more than a decade ago by James Bopp, who is the top attorney for the National Right to Life Committee. The NRLC is one of the oldest and largest anti-abortion rights organizations in the country.
It's a detailed roadmap for how to use incremental restrictions on abortion to end abortion access in the United States.
Fritchie says these incremental restrictions at the state level, like construction guidelines for clinics, which already exist in Pennsylvania, or this Down syndrome abortion law, have long been the strategy of anti-abortion activists throughout the country. Bopp wrote that
because there is no possibility that a flat ban on abortion would survive scrutiny by the U.S. Supreme Court, that anti-abortion strategists pass a series of incremental incursions on the abortion right. So chip away at Roe versus Wade.
The bill is now sitting in the Senate Judiciary Committee. A Senate spokesperson says there's no timeline set yet for discussion.
While lawmakers are framing their arguments as simply supporting or opposing abortion rights, many bioethicists say this issue is complex and shouldn't be legislated.
That's my colleague Sarah Bowden.
To make matters more complicated, prenatal screening can only tell parents if their child will likely be born with Down syndrome. The severity won't be known until years later. When parents receive this news, they'll likely have a lot of questions. Probably towards the top of the list is, will my child be happy?
Do you have any fruit-laced smoothies?
We can make strawberry smoothies.
That's fine. Okay. Strawberry's fine.
Okay.
On a warm afternoon this week, I meet up with Carrie Cannon of Bethel Park, who has Down syndrome. The 31-year-old works the salad bar at Eaton Park, which she enjoys. Overall, Cannon says she has a good life.
I'm just a girl who likes to be myself in every way.
I ask Cannon what she would say to parents who are considering abortion because of Down syndrome.
It's okay to be scared, but I don't think you should make a decision out of fear just because the child might have Down syndrome. I feel like all people are equal.
People with Down syndrome have mild to moderate intellectual disabilities. They're also more likely to have autism, heart defects, epilepsy, and digestive problems. Another question parents might ask is, what will my child be capable of? That's where it gets tricky. Dr. Peter Belova heads the University of Pittsburgh's Adult Down Syndrome Center. He says with early interventions, people do well. Some even live independently or get married. But there's a range.
We have several patients that are nonverbal and will require assistance throughout their entire life. These are people that either will be dependent on their parents or some of them that will have to move into a group home and get 24-hour care.
Reverend Natalie Hall is 37 years old and 25 weeks pregnant with her second child. At around the 11-week mark, she got a blood test to find out if her fetus was likely to have Down syndrome. It came back negative, which Hall says was a relief.
I'm grateful that I will likely never have to make a decision like that. I'm profoundly grateful.
Part of the reason Hall says this is because after having her first child, she was overwhelmed by how much help and support she needed.
It's a tornado experience. It's exhausting and exhilarating all at the same time.
Hall doesn't know if she's capable of raising a child with Down syndrome, which is why she might have considered terminating such a pregnancy.
I'm not convinced I would actually have the care and support that I would need to embark on caring for a child with Down syndrome or a child with any other significant developmental or physical difficulties.
As a member of the clergy, Hall says she's counseled women who have struggled over whether to have abortions. Ultimately, she says it's a personal choice that's made more difficult by a society that's not very accepting or supportive of people with disabilities. I'm Sarah Bowden.
And I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
WESA's Bridges to Health covers the well-being of Pennsylvanians and is funded by the Jewish Healthcare Foundation. WESA receives funding from the University of Pittsburgh.